Good morning and welcome to Grateful Godcast, where no matter who you are, God is not far from you.
The scripture of the day is Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 to 20. It reads, "And Jesus came and said to them, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and then of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the very end of the age.'" So guys, welcome to another great episode of Grateful Godcast.
Get grateful.
Get grateful. Eli, Eli, what's one thing you're grateful for this week?
You know what I'm grateful for?
What's that?
Fruit snacks.
Fruit snacks?
Yep. I'll tell you why. Because, you know, there's not many things like you can enjoy on a regular basis that stay the same no matter what. But fruit snacks, they stay the same.
Are you sure?
Actually, they sometimes change. But for the most part,
yeah,
fruit snacks, they deliver exactly what they say they're going to deliver. You know? Mm-hmm. They don't disappoint you. You know? Like that one kid.
Like that one kid?
Yeah.
You have something you need to get open about?
Yeah, man. It was rough. He hurt me. That's the end. That's all I'm going to say.
Wait, what's your favorite fruit snack brand?
My favorite and the best fruit snack brand of all time, Vanessa Joseph, but is Fruit Smiles.
Fruit Smiles.
Okay. Welch's is a close number two,
Welch's is my favorite. Welch's is really good.
Man, see, most people who say that just have not gone throughout the world and tried as many fruit snacks as I have. I could tell you, I'm going to make a video where I'm going to review all the major brands of fruit snacks. And I'm going to get in-depth and personal into why each of these brands of fruit snacks are as good or not so good.
Okay.
You know, I'm going to get deep into it. You know, I'm going to get real deep into it, okay?
I think what separates the good fruit snacks from the average fruit snacks is just some of them are greasy, you know? And then some of them taste like chemicals. So the ones that I feel like just balance the flavor, like actual good artificial flavors, because it's artificial. And then as well, just not being too greasy are pretty good. That's why I think Welch's is good. They, even though they can be a little kind of greasy sometimes, they just got this really deep flavor to them that I enjoy. So Welch's is pretty cool.
Yeah, I feel you, man. Like, greasiness, I don't think there's anything in this world that greasy and good work with.
Right.
You know? Greasy pizza tastes good, but you just feel wrong with greasiness getting into your body.
Right, of course.
You do.
It makes you feel sleepy and, you know, everything's just off.
Yep. So we already know what John is grateful for.
What's that?
Things that aren't greasy.
I am grateful for things that aren't greasy because they would make me break out.
Yeah.
But another thing that I'm grateful for is this really awesome retreat that me and a bunch of other college students just came from this past weekend called The Mission. It was amazing. A bunch of my brothers and sisters, Christians from all over the East Coast region, got together. We braved strong, like, hurricane force winds, closed bridges, falling down trees. Song. Is that really?
I don't know.
It must have been some kind of Jesus take the wheel kind of moment. But we braved that, and we came together and had an amazing retreat this weekend. Really opened our eyes to a lot of stuff. We're actually going to be talking about some of that stuff today in our next segment. So that's going to be amazing. Talking about the heart of God's mission in our lives.
Dun, dun, dun. Yep.
But in a good dun, dun, dun.
Yes.
Not like a devious one that you'd have on a show with a bad guy.
Yeah, it'd be like, dun, 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 dun.
Dun, dun.
Yeah, like that's like a more good one.
Yeah, there you go. It's upbeat, positive, you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
So, it's a lot to be grateful for, bro. A lot to be grateful for.
There is.
But I need to also tell you that I'm worried about your fruit snack habits. I appreciate you sharing your fruit snack, but you won't even tell me how many fruit snacks you're eating.
That's like asking somebody how many times I've been to the bathroom. No, that's their own business.
Wow, that's their own business?
Yes.
Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go to the box of fruit snacks and count how many you have eaten out of, what is it, a 48-pack?
I didn't get a 48-pack this time.
You didn't get a 48-pack.
But, you know, you could go to the box and you will find you have to go outside.
Really?
Because the box isn't in the garbage. So if you want to go to the box, it's there.
Oh, so you got a 24-pack.
I didn't say that. I just said you have to go to the box.
Yeah, I'm a detective.
What?
I know how to find things. Don't doubt me. Don't doubt me. So maybe you should eat some fruit in there with those fruit snacks, bro.
Well, that's the whole benefit of fruit snacks is that you get both the snack and the fruit all in one.
Don't think that's how that
works.
Yeah. Some people even consider fruit snacks candy.
Yeah, those people, they're dead to me. But,
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy. I mean, I think I don't think it's candy, but I don't think there's actually a healthy benefit to fruit snacks. So whatever. You know, it is what it is.
You're dead to me. You're dead to me.
Insulting your favorite food ever.
Oh my god.
I don't even know how to weaken you.
Grateful Godcast is going to be hosted by me and only me in the future.
Well, let's get into the next segment because, you know, I wouldn't want to upset you any further. But, yeah. Grateful. Grateful all that.
We grateful.
So I mentioned earlier that this past weekend we went to a retreat and we focused on one thing, Eli. Do you know what that one thing was?
The amazingness of fruit snacks?
No, no. It was something actually important, okay? We're done with fruit snacks. The thing we talked about was God's mission for our lives. Oh. And that comes from Matthew 28, the scripture that we had in our intro.
Okay.
We're going making disciples of all nations.
Okay.
And you know what? This is amazing to me because growing up, trying to live the life of a Christian, trying to live the life of someone who, you know, went to church and was pursuing God. Mm. This, I always felt like, you know, I kind of understood that it was good to talk to people about God.
Yeah.
And to not be ashamed of him. But I never had it emblazoned on my heart that it was a part of the mission, the purpose for our lives, to really go out and help every person who's hurting, who's lost, to see God, to really teach them and help them to become disciples of Jesus Christ. And so, you know, that's something that actually became clear to me when I went to college and I actually became a Christian. But as well, I just really enjoyed this retreat this past weekend because it's always important to just have that perspective shifted back towards the mission. And you and me have talked about this offline before, but there's just so many things that can distract you from what's important and what we really need to do. There's just so many things that are vying for our hearts and vying to just tell us that this is the most important thing in your life, right? Like school, if you're a college student or if you're in high school or anything related to school, they're like, no, like your life belongs to us. You do this project, you do these papers, you just flip yourself over around all backwards for us. If you have a job, right? Your job is like, no, like you work for us, work extra hours, do all this different stuff. And basically, we're the ones who you need to be pursuing and going after and all this stuff. So it's just so easy for everything to get in the way of you actually taking time to make disciples.
Yeah.
Like making that an intentional effort. So I just really love the fact that we got to go back to the basics and the essentials, really, and go back and focus on that this past weekend.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I think it's hard for people to kind of accept this as a regular part of your life, you know. And I think that, you know, even today, like, we've kind of molded it into what is convenient for us. And it's not really painted in, like, a negative picture, but it's just, like, you know, God's the second greatest commandment is love your neighbor as yourself.
Right.
You know, and I thought a lot about that myself, you know, like, this is the second greatest commandment, you know, that our focus on other people as opposed to God being the first thing, it is the most important thing that God wants from us.
Right.
You know? And so, you know, it is important, you know? But a lot of times we don't make it as important.
Yeah.
You know? You're right. School, our work, all these things tend to take up our minds. And then these things become an afterthought. I know that has been the case in my life at times. You know, it's just like, yeah, like, oh, I think I should do this, or maybe I should do this, or, and it seems to be very difficult.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that that's why it's become such an optional thing, or it feels like it's become a very optional thing in the life of the modern day 21st century Christian.
Yeah.
Because there's just so many responsible excuses that you can have to not do it, right? No one's going to come up to you and say, like, oh, you're working, you know, too hard at school or you're working too much at your job or anything like that, because it's just like, that's a responsible excuse.
Yep.
Now, if you were, like, doing drugs or, you know, slacking off, someone would be like, nah, you need to get your life together. But because you're doing things that our society says is productive, then it's easy for you to just, like, let go of God's mission. But when you go back and you kind of look at how Jesus says that, he says, hey, look, like, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, this is what you need to go do.
Yeah.
Anything that comes after that, you need to make sure you are doing everything in your power to go and do that thing. And he said to go and make disciples of all nations. Mm. So what do you feel like that means, I guess? Like, what does it actually mean to make disciples of all nations?
Well, I could get into, like, the actual Greek definition.
Yep.
I think it's been interpreted in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. I think people would say, go make disciples means I just need to go talk to people about God.
Right.
You know, I think that's a part of it.
Yep.
I definitely think that. But if you look into the actual word of make disciples, the word is Greek. It's called matheteo. And matheteo implies a lot much more than just talking to people with God.
Right.
But actually creating relationships of a mentor student type.
Right.
You know, where you're actually walking with that person,
mm-hmm.
and they are learning from you. Wow. You know? And it's so much more than just talking to them about God, you know? But where do you see people doing that a lot of times, you know? But so when I think of make disciples, I mean, you're looking at people, and this is just the idea of making a disciple in general.
Right.
But making a disciple of Jesus is you're basically going around building relationships with people and showing them how to follow Jesus's teachings.
Yep.
You know, and how to be like Jesus in their lives. That's essentially what you're doing when you're making disciples, so that they can go off and do the exact same thing for someone else.
Well,
you know, so you also have to teach them how to make disciples.
Right.
You know.
That's radically different than what you see a lot of people do. It's like you go up to someone, give them a church card, and oh yeah, I fulfilled my sharing my faith obligation for today.
Yeah.
It's not really what you're describing.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I think there's a lot of, like, a question I'd ask is, like, why do you think that we deviate so far from what Jesus actually says to that?
I think for a lot of reasons, it's a good question to ask. I think that part of our mental psyche is that we think that everyone already knows the gospel at this point.
Yeah.
So that there doesn't have to be as much of a drive to go out and share it and teach people about it.
Yeah.
I think that when the disciples heard this command, it was shocking to them for lots of different reasons. First of all, there was 11 of them.
Yeah.
And Jesus is basically saying, hey, you guys go make disciples of all nations.
Yep.
It's like, are you joking? You know how many people that is? We got to preach to everybody? Us? Like, that's wild. And so now today, we hear that same command and we're like, oh, snap. Well, that's kind of already done, right? Like, there are disciples of all nations and people are, you know, following God. But then when you really get to the heart of the matter and you actually go out and try to do what this command says, you see how lost people still truly are.
Yep.
There are people who say that they're Christians and say that they're disciples and say that they love God who know nothing about the Bible.
Yep.
And they don't know how to follow him. And a lot of the times, they aren't actually doing a lot of what the Bible says, sadly.
Yep.
Because they've never actually had someone do this, teach them, walk with them, and train them on what it takes to live out the commands of Jesus, like Jesus wanted us to do.
Yeah.
So I think that gets in the way of it a lot. I think that... Yeah, I think that people are just lazy.
Yeah.
And that because this is something that's hard to do and takes time and investment, they don't see it as a priority as much as what they've been fed or taught is like, hey, get a nice house, get married, have kids. That's the American dream. Do that.
Yeah.
And God will follow you along with whatever you decide to do. That's your dream. It's like, well, actually, no. That's not at all what your purpose now is. Like, if you say that you love God, and if you call yourself a disciple and you call yourself a Christian, your life is now God's.
Yeah.
It belongs to him, and he wants to use you to go out and do amazing things and help win souls for him, the people who are still lost and who are hurting, the atheists, the people who believe all other kinds of religions. God wants to be able to use us for those things, but we're not allowing ourselves to be used for just so many different reasons, and it's really a shame.
Yeah. I like what you said about it being hard.
Yeah.
I think when you look at the reality of creating relationships like that, that is hard. You know, it's so much easier to just give someone an invite and walk away.
Yeah.
You know, like, oh, I did my deed. Mm-hmm. And I've been guilty of that at times too.
Yeah.
But it's just like a relationship is so much more investment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you look at Jesus, he invested in the lives of the disciples.
Right.
You know, he invested them. He was with them. A lot, you know, and so, you know, he was invested in so much more than just like, okay, can you just come with me this one time to this thing?
Right.
You know, and people feel that too.
Yeah.
You know, like you know, when someone is invested in you, you know, and I think that God had a good idea when he had it going on. He's just like, this isn't just about, you know, them hearing what you have to say, but you're investing in everything and who they are.
Exactly.
You know, because everything who they are has to be given over to God.
Right.
You know, but, and it's hard, you know, like in my experience, mm-hmm. when you create relationships with people, you're much more likely to experience pain yourself.
Right.
You know, you look at Jesus himself, like his last deed on earth was watching all of his disciples betray him
right.
and abandon him, you
right.
know,
the people he invested in.
Yeah. He invested in for years. Yeah, so, yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, when I think about that, I'm thinking like, whoa,
yeah,
I'm not too excited about getting abandoned
right.
Or betrayed because it will happen.
Right.
It will definitely happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with people that you will invest in, you will show the word of God. They will turn their backs and they will walk away from it.
Yep.
And you will hurt. You know, it's true.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when you get that happens, you get jaded from the mission sometimes.
Right.
You know, thinking like, well, maybe this isn't what God wants me to do. Maybe God just wants me to invite people to church.
Right.
You know, maybe that's just what God wants me to do.
Yeah.
You know, and no. Mm-hmm. No, actually, it's not. And that's from Satan.
Right.
You know, I think, you know, yeah.
Yeah, that's big. And I'm just even following up on what you were saying. I think that we try to live out this command. I think it's different for everybody, but I also think that there has to be a understanding of like you said, like what is it Jesus is specifically asking us to do?
Yeah.
Now, it's impossible for us to do this without fighting for people.
Yeah.
Right? Like you can't, like we just talked about, you can't just go up, hand someone a card or, you know, have like general, like there's just so much generality in Christianity. I think that it was like, oh yeah, just like it's McDonald's.
Yeah.
People just come to church and leave and be like, oh, you're on your own.
Yeah.
That's not at all what Jesus did.
Yep.
There was nothing like that. There was an intentionality in inviting people into your life and loving them and walking with them.
Yeah.
And I think that something that just kind of like gets lost in the shuffle of all that is that actually sitting down with people and making sure they understand the Bible and have solid convictions on what it says. And so we specifically try to do that by like just studying the Bible with people, right? Like we'll sit down, we'll talk about the cross, the most important thing for anyone who's a Christian to understand.
Mm.
We'll talk about why it's important to read your Bible. We just talk about a lot of different stuff.
Yeah.
And I think that, we've been through some crazy stuff studying the Bible with people.
Mm.
But that could be a whole nother segment by itself.
Yeah.
But I think that the thing that I've learned more than anything else by actually just making an effort to intentionally sit down and study the Bible with lots of different people is that God is a genius.
Yeah.
Because he knows how badly we need this to stay faithful.
Yeah.
Just as well as the people who we're studying the Bible with.
Yeah.
Because in order to understand something, you have to be able to teach it.
Yeah.
And just constantly reminding yourself of, oh yeah, this is why I sacrifice and deny myself for God.
Yeah.
Because his love is amazing.
Yeah.
And so this is such a reinforcement of these convictions and these values. The more that you're teaching it, the more that you're preaching, the more that you're sharing the light of God in people's lives. And that's so important, man. And so God really knows what he's doing, to be honest.
Yeah.
So it's crazy.
You're absolutely right.
Yep.
Yeah, I think it's a balance of both.
I know, right.
Ladies and gentlemen, John Whitfield. you know, it's funny. What is it that Jesus actually asks us to do?
Mm.
We get lost a lot of times,
right.
You know? And so, you know, and I think like when you have a relationship with someone mm-hmm. as well, you do get the ability to be able to go over the nitty gritty details
right.
of those things. Cause like, you can't really speak into someone's life like that.
Yeah.
I mean, you could.
Yeah, it wouldn't. I mean,
you could.
Yeah.
But, you know, like, I think you get a different response sometimes. But, like, when you have a relationship, not just that, there's a trust there.
Right.
You know, they get a chance to see you
mm-hmm.
and who you are and see, like, okay, this guy's really about it. I can learn from him.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And so when you get that reality, then it's like, okay, you can say things like, okay, Jesus actually tells us that we need to humble ourselves like kids.
Yep.
You know, to enter the kingdom of God.
Mm-hmm.
To enter the kingdom of God, you know? What the heck does that mean?
Right.
You know, like, you know, like, that's big, you know? Like, Jesus actually tells us, you know, we gotta love our enemies.
Right.
You know? that person who did that thing to you, like, actually, you gotta love them still. Mm. You know?
Talk about it.
You know? And then the thing is, like, even when you're in those relationships, you gotta fight with people.
Right.
You know, because people are gonna reject it. It'll be like, what the heck?
Yeah, I don't wanna do that.
I don't wanna do that.
You can't judge me.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And so it's just like, it's real talk.
Right.
It's real talk, you know? And so, it's a lot, you know? Mm-hmm. People have a lot that they're going through, and so, you know, you gotta be able to work through that stuff with people. So.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Like actually sitting down and be like, well, this is what you can do. People need that time and that attention, and that's what God has done for us.
Yeah.
Right. That even just looking at it, God didn't just like hand you a Bible and walk away. Right. No. Like, yeah. He did so much more to that. He lived out the gospel in all of our lives through Jesus.
Yeah.
And so, doing anything else than that is just not fulfilling this commandment.
Yeah.
And I don't know about you, but I'm not planning to get in front of God and Him be able to say, hey, like, why didn't you do the one thing I died for you to do? Like, this is it. This is it. Go and decide. I told you this, right? Like, what happened? And I'm trying to get that well done, you know?
Yeah.
My good and faithful servant. So it's something that just can't be passed up or overlooked.
Yep.
So it's big.
Yep.
So with that, that's that.
That's that. That's that. One of my greatest pet peeves is when a television network gives you a great television show and then suddenly takes away that great television show for no reason at all.
Makes you want to cry.
It does. I'm sure they give you some, you know, random reasons, but it's just like, you know, like there's this one show called Young Justice.
Mm.
Okay?
Don't you get the internet riled up.
And Young Justice was an amazing show.
It was a great show.
It was an amazing show.
Yeah.
And out of nowhere, they canceled it. Yeah. But they repented. They repented like 8 years later, 11 years later or something. They're like, okay, we're bringing it back.
Uh-huh.
Because of the internet.
Yeah.
The internet, everyone was so mad.
Mm-hmm.
They were raving about it. And they were like, what is your problem?
Yeah.
But they've done this to a lot of shows.
They have, man.
And it makes you have commitment issues. Honestly. Like, right. I see a good show, I'm just like, oh, I can't get too invested.
Yeah.
You know, they might disappear on me.
Mm.
And
so there's no point to it.
Yep.
You know, one that I recently remembered, or like kind of remembered how good it was, Danny Phantom.
Danny Phantom.
Phantom is just 14. Interesting. I was like, yo, Danny Phantom. Here was different about Danny Phantom, okay? Mm. At that time, Nickelodeon didn't really have any like boy action shows that mixed comedy well and all this different stuff.
Right.
And they didn't really have a lot of shows with black people as part of the main cast. And so Danny Phantom was great because it had all of that, right?
Yep.
It had the Tucker kid. He was actually a smart black kid,
yep,
part of the main cast. And yep, then Danny, he was like, he went ghost and he fought bad guys and you were invested and it was funny.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, it was just all this good stuff. And then they canceled it. And people were like, why did you cancel this show? It was doing well ratings wise. It's like, what's wrong with you? So it's just frustrating. Danny Phantom was so good. Oh, man.
Yeah, the guy who made Danny Phantom, he actually left Nickelodeon recently. Because he made Danny Phantom, Fairly Odd Parents.
Mm-hmm. Those other two shows that no one watched.
The other two shows.
Tough Puppy and Bunsen's a Beast.
Yeah.
Who watched those?
I always remember the Fairly Odd Parents, Chip Scarlett. Shiny teeth and me. Shiny teeth that sparkle.
I feel like just you were like that guy. You were that guy.
That song was so good. Shiny teeth that sparkles just like the morning sky. Something like that.
Oh, Lord.
Shiny teeth and... But
wasn't that Justin Timberlake or something like that?
I think it was.
Was it Justin?
I'm pretty sure it was Justin Timberlake.
Or it was another random NSYNC member.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, yeah, I'll be Chip Skylark.
Oh, but you know what show also got to me that they canceled?
What?
And I hate when they deeply invest in a show.
Mm.
Like, 3 seasons deep.
Mm-hmm.
And then, oh, it's gone.
Yeah.
Kyle XY.
Kyle XY.
You remember Kyle XY?
He's the guy with no belly button.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. They dropped you right when the mystery was thick.
Mm.
Oh.
What was Kyle XY about? I just know no belly button.
It was about this dude who was like, you find out that he just appeared or something in the, like, well, you find out later. Sorry, spoiler.
Spoiler alert.
Anyone who was planning to watch, he's a clone of some kind or something like that.
Huh.
And this whole time, no one knows what he is.
Yeah.
You know? And you finally figure out what he is. Mm-hmm. That he's a clone. That's why he doesn't have a belly button.
Ah, I see.
You know, because, you know, you have a belly button because you get your umbilical cord cut off.
Right.
But he didn't have one because he was a clone.
Right.
So, yeah. So, it was a deep show. Mm. Deep show, man.
I never saw that show. I kind of just, like, put it into that category of, like, teen drama stuff that I wasn't really into at the time. I was more about stuff like Teen Titans
Go,
which hurts my heart to this day. Yeah. They canceled that show.
I can't talk about it.
And that they brought it back in a new form called Teen
Don't
Titans.
Don't say it.
We won't say it. Go.
Oh.
Teen Titans Go.
They had they dare take the from the theme song Teen Titans Go.
Yeah, how dare you ever touch that theme song? I mean, it's a dagger in my heart to know that they have brought it back, and now it's Cartoon Network's most, it's their best show, it's their most popular show, is Teen Titans Go. Knowing that, and the fact that they play it all the time, like, if you watch Cartoon Network these days, which most people don't do anymore, millennials don't, because we have Netflix, Hulu, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
We don't do cable. Cartoon Network, they always play Teen Titans Go. Yep. Always. And it's frustrating because we love Teen Titans. And these kids today don't know anything about Teen Titans. They just
they
know
don't
Teen
know.
Titans Go, and they love Teen Titans Go. It's like, do you know Robin used to be cool?
He used to be so cool.
He used to be amazing. Slade.
Yep. They made Teen Titans made Robin look amazing.
Exactly.
Like, I used to think Robin was foolishness. I was like, why are you going to wear tights like that? You know?
Right.
But he was so cool in that show. He was so dark and gritty.
Yep.
He was shady.
He was a leader.
Yep.
Him and Starfire. Oh, my gosh. Beast Boy was... Everyone was so cool in that show.
Yep.
And so they canceled it before Starfire got her season, because each season revolved around one character. And Starfire never got her season. And they rushed out a movie, Teen Titans in Tokyo. But that will always hurt, because Teen Titans was my favorite animated show, and they canceled it. They killed it, bro. They killed it.
I'm sorry, John.
I know.
Let's have a moment of silence for Teen Titans. Okay, we're back. You know. Yeah.
It hopefully never resurrects as anything else.
Yep.
But Young Justice coming back is encouraging.
It is very encouraging.
It gives me life for, like, other shows that were canceled that might come back one day.
Oh, man.
And other formats. And the great part is that because of the internet and the fact that you don't have to go through the major networks now to have a show be successful and to make money, lots of other things can be made and come back to life that that before wouldn't be able to. So it's nice. So let's pray. Let's pray for Teen Titans.
Lord Father God, bring Teen Titans back.
Please, the right way.
Yeah.
You gotta be careful what you ask for, right?
Yeah.
There's this thing that we do, right, that God has given us the ability to do. It's called praying. And praying is really essential and important for everyone. But I think that people around our age, right, like millennials, we have this weird attitude towards prayer. Because we've seen our grandparents and our parents pray it up like crazy. Mm-hmm. I'm sure most people whose parents were, you know, Christians or disciples or who lived for God, you know, we've seen them pray. We've seen them, you know, pray for lots of different things. But I don't know if someone has ever really taught us the importance of showing us how to pray and why that's important.
Yeah.
And so I think it's cool because when you go back and you look at the Bible and Jesus' example, there's a lot of teachings on prayer. But unless you really go and just kind of see how they all stack up, it can be like really easy to lose the meaning of what it means to pray. Because the media tells us, you know, it's to ask for things.
Yeah.
Like God is a genie of some sort. But in real reality, prayer is about us, right?
Yeah.
It's about us being able to connect with God and us being able to change our hearts and us showing our faith in so many different ways. And so we're really losing out on a huge part of connecting with God and letting his power overtake us if we're not praying the way that we should be.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it's funny. Like, there's a scripture in Luke, I want to say it's Luke 11, where, you know, the reality of prayer was more of like a gift.
Mm.
You know, not like a burden. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think I've looked at prayer as like, oh, it's another thing I have to do.
Right, exactly.
You know, but I think there's this point where like prayer itself, you like, I remember, like, I had this experience where I was just talking to God.
Mm-hmm.
Not about anything in particular, but about how I would talk with, like, a friend, mm-hmm. you know? And it was this new kind of feeling of, like, God is my friend.
Mm-hmm.
And he is with me wherever I go,
mm-hmm.
you know? And it's not how I've always thought about it in my life,
yep.
you know? I think, like, there's so much to gain in quality of life just from being able to pray.
Right.
You know? Like, there's so many things I think, like, would be more balanced, you know, like relationships, for example.
Yeah.
You know, I think a lot of the problems that we have in relationships stem from us not placing God where he belongs
mm-hmm.
or where he actually is.
Yeah.
You know, like, you know, people are upset because their, you know, significant other isn't able to fulfill their every desire.
Right.
Or,
emotional.
Yeah.
All that. Yeah.
You know, or like, for example, they're not available all the time.
Right.
Or they're late, or, you know, like, you know, all these different things that, like, when I'm connected to God
mm-hmm.
the way I should be, I don't have those issues.
Yeah, that's big.
I don't have, like, I only have those issues when I'm not connected to God
right.
the way I should be. Like, I only get upset about those things because I, like, when I'm not satisfied, when God isn't enough.
Right, right.
You know?
Exactly.
But when God is enough, everything else is, like, cake. It's like icing. You know, it's like the good icing, not like the nasty stuff.
Oh yeah, it's important.
You know?
Distinctions.
Yeah, you know. And so it's just like you're satisfied.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so you don't have to worry about like a lot of things
yeah.
when you're connected to God.
Yeah. I think it's cool that you mentioned that, and it even made me think about like when and first of all, let me start this off with saying there's a lot of times I don't feel like praying.
Yeah.
Praying does not come naturally to me. In fact, I think that's a huge part of why it's important is because I really have to surrender what's pleasing to my flesh, honestly,
yeah.
which is to not pray and to go about my day completely dependent on my own strength and power
yeah.
rather than have to kind of like stand and really spend time talking to God and bearing my heart before him and praying and worshiping him. That's not pleasing to me.
Yeah.
For other people, I feel like maybe it's more easy for them to do or natural. It's not to me.
Yeah.
I really actually have to push myself to do it just because of how important we know
yeah.
that it is. Jesus, when he taught his disciples to pray, he said, he told them to say to God, please give us this day our daily bread.
Yeah.
And that was a part of the prayer. But when he said that, it was, and the people who were hearing it, his disciples, they would know immediately, their minds would jump to when the Israelites were in the wilderness on their yeah. way to the promised land, and God was providing them manna from heaven.
Yeah.
Because otherwise they would not have been able to eat, and they starved. And so every day God did a miracle just so that they could survive.
Yep.
It's wild that those same people were ungrateful and they saw a miracle every day
yep.
and they still complain, which is wild. But you know, people's hearts, right?
Yeah.
And he's like telling them, hey, like every day you need to pray with this kind of a heart and this kind of mentality.
Yeah.
You need to come to God as much as possible to get what it takes for you to survive. And on a spiritual level, that's incredible to me.
Yep.
So there can't be any other attitude in my mind towards prayer other than you stink and need this. You need to connect with God. You need to really, talk to him and communicate with him. And
yeah.
it's just like if we, you know, any relationship.
Yep.
Eli, if I claim to be your friend and I never made an effort to talk to you.
Yeah.
Then what kind of a relationship is that?
It would not be a
relationship. It wouldn't be one. If you were married, right? Or if you, you know, had a wife or whatever it was and you never communicated with her, you just kind of expected her to do stuff, you'd be a jacked up husband.
Yep.
But we enter into this kind of a relationship with God where we just expect him to do stuff for us without us ever communicating with him.
Yep.
So selfish, so ungrateful, so arrogant on our parts to think yep. that just because God loves us deeply, we should be expecting or entitled from something from him
yeah.
without ever praying. It's ridiculous to me.
Yeah. I think, you know, for me, I think there's a lot of difficulties that I face with praying because...
Yep.
You know, one thing, when I first decided, you know, to become a Christian, I always had this huge discrepancy between what the world was telling me about my prayer life and what I saw in the Bible.
Yeah.
See, in the Bible, I saw people having an ongoing relationship that was not limited by a 20-minute thing in the morning.
Sure.
You know?
Sure.
I saw Jesus staying up all night.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I saw him praying for hours. And for me... that created a huge conflict in my brain.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, like, with any relationship, it has to start somewhere.
Right.
You know, that, yeah, you know, initially, yeah, it might be 5 minutes.
Right.
It might be 10 minutes, you know. But my prayer life from 5 years ago of maybe 5 or 10 minutes is nowhere near that today.
Right, exactly.
And, you know, because it's a growing relationship.
Right.
You know, and I think, but there are difficulties I had to face.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, one thing I realized about myself is that I did not like the idea of praying to someone who I couldn't see, you know, and the reason why I did not like that was because it was humbling.
Yeah.
You know, it was incredibly humbling. I felt stupid.
Right, right.
I was like, I'm praying to someone invisible, you know, and my mind kept thinking like, wait, maybe this is a lie.
Right.
You know, maybe I'm making a fool of myself here talking, like people looking at me like, he's talking to himself, you know, like,
yeah.
You know, like maybe I'm doing that, you know, I had resentments towards people who weren't there for me,
mm-hmm.
you know? So I said, I'm praying to someone invisible. How am I supposed to believe that they're there?
Right.
If there are people in the real world mm-hmm. who aren't there,
mm-hmm.
you know? You know, like, I've had difficulties, like, expressing myself because I was afraid of what people thought of me. So it's just right. like, I'm talking to God, and I'm like, okay, if people didn't like me for what I said, how could the God of the universe
right.
like me? Or how can I say these things to him? But the thing is, like, prayer in your life, when you realize the gift that it is, everyone has crazy thoughts,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
And the truth of the matter is, it's a very rarity for you to be able to express the extent of those crazy thoughts.
Yeah.
But you can with God,
mm-hmm.
you know? And there's something about that is that when you express the deep and darkness of your heart to God
yep.
and feel that he doesn't run away, but he comes closer to you, it does something for you.
Yep.
It really does.
Yep.
And it changes the way that you operate in your relationships in the world. The more that you're able to honestly communicate with God alone,
mm-hmm.
the more that God will present himself and be there in your life with other people.
Yep.
And people will know that, you know? And one thing that I noticed, like, I would see is, like, with Abraham or Joseph, for example,
mm-hmm.
No one, like, now we don't really know the specifics of their relationship with God,
mm-hmm.
but we did know that people who did not necessarily follow God were able to recognize that God was in their life.
Right.
Why, you know? But it was something about it, about their relationship with God, that allowed people that who didn't even necessarily believe in God
mm-hmm.
recognize that God was real.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
And they didn't necessarily have a Bible, but they did have a communication with God.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
You know?
It's important. I think that it's something that we have got to invest in because for millennials, once again, our lives are probably the busiest of any generation.
Yeah.
It's work. It's taking time with that. It's taking time to pursue all of these other interests that we've got going on. We sap time from everything with social media, which is also envelops our brain space and capacity with our phone, checking our phone almost 200 times a day.
Yeah.
Right? Like, there's so much stuff that if we don't really rip ourselves away from it and really intentionally make time to talk to God, to communicate, we're honestly robbing ourselves of the most important relationship and the only relationship that can save us.
Yeah.
So we're not hurting anyone but ourselves, but we can't see it as a chore. Just like you said earlier,
yeah.
it's got to be something motivated by love, right? You
yeah.
don't talk to your mom. You don't talk to the person you know, romantically like, just because if you don't talk to them, you'll get in trouble.
Yeah.
Or something. No, like, you talk to them because you love them and because they love you.
Yeah.
So that's what we got to do with God. And if we don't, we're hurting ourselves.
Yeah. You know, what's cool is, like, you ever, like, want to hang out with someone and they're not there?
Yeah.
You know? I've had that happen to me a lot.
Yeah.
And, you know, you start thinking, like, oh, man, those aren't real friends, or people just switch up on you.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of those things that we say, like, people switching up on you, they're not my real friends, all this kind of stuff, all from probably unmet expectations that really belong to God.
Yeah.
You know? And when you realize that, like, God is available to you 24/7.
All the stinking time.
You know, like, even like, there's an idea of, like, we gotta make time, but then also the spontaneity of being able to talk to God anytime.
Mm-hmm.
is crazy.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
Like, it's amazing because everybody wants someone that they can spill their guts to.
Yeah.
Everybody. Whether they say it or not, everybody is going to want somebody who is committed to them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at some point in their life. You know? And God is committed to you.
Yep.
You know? And He cares. He wants to hear about the crap that you, like, the difficulties you have with, I don't know, talking to people, or he wants to hear about what you think about this or whatever. Like, and that's an amazing feeling to be able to talk about anything.
Yep.
You know, how many times have you heard about people going into relationships like, I feel like I could talk to this person about anything? Mm-hmm. At some point, you're going to realize that there's something that you can't talk to them about. But, you know, but you like that feeling.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you like that feeling? Because you feel accepted by that person.
Yep.
You know, you feel incredibly accepted, and everybody wants to be accepted. And imagine that that's something you can do with God,
mm-hmm.
and that God wants you to have that type of relationship where, you know, it's where you walk with Him.
Yeah.
You know, like where you go about your life, no matter what stage you're in, and you are communicating with Him, and that, you know, even if you don't have a formal, like, oh, this is my set time with God.
Mm-hmm.
But more so that prayer is something that envelops your life and everything that you do. And that when you bring it into every aspect of your life, it changes things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I remember there's been pivotal moments where that no one was available to help me with things,
mm-hmm.
you know. And there are things that people are like, oh, wow, you know, Eli, this is great. This is awesome. And the only thing I could think back to is that I prayed about that,
mm-hmm.
you know, like, you know, like, whether it be, like, an idea I came up with. Like, there's times where I was just like, I don't know how to do this. I need an idea.
Yeah.
And then God gave me an idea. You know, he helped me to bring out my full potential,
mm-hmm.
of who I could be, you know. That's because that's who God is. He wants to restore us, to who we're really supposed to be in Him. And we can do that when we are praying.
Yeah.
You know, because then we have God, you know. And that's the idea, you know. And so it's crazy, like everything that we do, like we, like our school, our job, our, the way that we can walk through life, you know, prayer, when we invite God into every single aspect of them, it doesn't have to be this long thing, but like we have feelings in regard to these things and we tell other people about them.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'm scared right now. Oh, I'm having difficulty with my job. You know, oh, I'm having difficulty with school. I'm having, you know, like, actually, this is going great. You know, like, communicating with God in these moments right here and brings us closer to Him, helps us to just, it's just amazing.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I agree. I think that saying prayer changes things, that's true.
Yeah.
But it doesn't just change things. It changes everything.
Yeah.
Everything, all the time. And it works. So, we gotta be praying.
Yeah.
Without a doubt.
Yeah. I really like the direction that, you know, Christian music is going today.
Yeah.
You know, because for a long time, I used to view Christian music with this very, with disdain.
Okay.
Honestly, I did. Yeah. I was just like, Christian music is just not as good,
mm-hmm.
as mainstream music.
Understandable.
You know, the production quality isn't as good. Mm-hmm. You know, the lyrics aren't as good. You know, it's just, where is the talent?
Yeah.
You know? And so I just found it hard to really listen to it. But today, I don't feel that way anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's so much good Christian music that, you know, I could exclusively listen to Christian music for a long time.
Yeah.
If I wanted to. And so right now, like, there's some good artists out right now. I think, who's a good artist that, was it Show Baraka?
Show Baraka, yeah. Show Baraka.
Yeah, like he has some good stuff out right now.
Yep.
What is his name?
You like Drew Bex, the guy who did that song I showed you, Midnight in Miami.
Oh, he's a Christian artist?
Yeah. Yeah.
What?
Yeah, he's a Christian artist.
What? Mm-hmm. He's good. He's real good.
Yeah. Very vibey.
Yo, see, that's what I love. I love that there's so much good music out now.
Right.
You know? Oh
But even when you go to the 116 guys, right? Like, even them, I think they were reflective of the transition of Christian music.
Yep.
Especially because they did Christian hip hop, but like, when you go back and you look at the early Lecrae, early Tedashi, early Trip Lee, it was very, it was like they were very preachy in a lot of their songs, and they were definitely trying to get the message out, but it was also very, you could call it corny, you could call it cornball, you could call it, not a very good production quality. You can call it a lot of different things, but they were getting the message out. And some of the stuff I still enjoy.
Yeah.
But you look at where they are today. Night and day.
Night and day.
The production, the producers they're able to get on the beats.
Yeah.
They're great. You know, the lyricism is on point now as well. Yep. Just everything is just like taking it up a notch. So my favorite Christian music artist is actually Andy Mineo. Andy Mineo is amazing. I love the guy.
Yeah.
All his albums, Heroes for Sale, Uncomfortable. His EPs, Neverland. He's a really amazing Christian rapper.
Yeah.
And people compare him to Drake a lot, I think, which I can kind of see in some ways with some of the stuff that he does. But he's just, like, really good, at least to me. I love Andy Mineo.
Yo, yeah, I love Andy Mineo, too. I really like Marty.
Hey, Marty.
Marty and Social Club. Social Club Misfits.
Yeah.
You know, listening to some of their stuff has been really good. And there's this record company called Humble Beast Records.
Humble Beast.
Humble Beast Records has a lot of good lyricists on there.
Show Baraka's on there.
Yes, I think Show Baraka is on there. Yeah. And they have, like, they're more underground, but they have so many good people on there.
Yeah.
Trying to think of...
What's that one guy? Jay Gibbons? Jay Gibbs?
Oh, yeah. There's Jay Gibbs and then Jay Givens.
Oh, both of them are on there?
Both of them are on there.
It's not confusing at all.
Yeah. So, like, both of them are, like, really good.
Yeah. Is Swoop on there?
Swoop is on there.
Okay.
Swoop
okay.
is on there.
Yeah.
Propaganda.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Propaganda is really good.
Crimson Cord.
He was so into that. But, then there's, what is it, Christian Gray?
Oh, yeah. Is he a Humble Beast?
Yeah.
Okay, I love Christian Gray.
Christian.
He's really good.
Yeah, he is so good.
Yeah.
R&B artist. Mm. And he's part of this collective. I forgot what it was called. I think it's like We Are
Kings. We Are the King. We Live as Kings.
We Live as Kings. Yeah, We Live as Kings is a good...
Did they put out stuff anymore? The last thing they put out was like 2013?
So. I want to say that I don't know if they put out anything recently.
No.
But,
not bad at all.
But they were... I liked them a lot. Then there was that one person who does Maybe One Day, Drew something.
Oh, man. Oh, yeah, he was on there too, though.
Yep.
Having a hard time remembering him.
Yep.
But even like... Okay, so we did talk about a lot about Christian hip-hop, but that there's this one other group. There's two other groups, but there's one other group. They did this song, I Fix My... for King & Country. Have you heard anything from King & Country?
Yes, yeah. Only because of Lecrae.
Yeah.
But, yes.
Oh, yeah, because they were on Lecrae's album. Yeah. Anomaly. But I like them, too, a little bit. They're fresh. So I'll say, there's a lot of people out there, like Brit Nicole.
Rivers and Robots.
I've never heard of them before.
Oh, so good.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, so give me hip.
Yep.
There's a band who did Dirt. They did the song called Dirt. I forgot the name of the band. I guess I should remember this stuff. But, yeah, there's a lot of good Christian music up there. I'm happy about how the way this has progressed. So, they're not the cornballs anymore.
Nope.
Not at all.
Nope.
So, with that, maybe we'll vibe you guys out to some music today.